More of Mike Reed on Knee Deep in Rubber with Dale Wiley on The Dale Wiley Show, also on YouTube. What were some of your favorite older people in Crane? Let's talk about that for a minute. Some people that you liked.
Gee whiz. Well, it was kind of like the type of town you liked all the older people, really, because there just wasn't that many people there.
Right.
I mean, there was Doc Hackley.
Right. Love him.
The eye doctor.
Yes.
What was his name? He used to live down by you. The doctor there in town.
Oh, Dr. Womack. He lived right next door.
Dr. Womack. He was a character. Now
he was.
If you ever went to his doctor office, it was kind of like stepping back into science fiction or something, because he got a lot of old stuff.
Right.
They just looked like big radar guns or something. I don't know. You know, it was just his doctor office was kind of like a warehouse. I mean, you go in the, and there was a reception area, but he was the one at the reception area. Yeah, come on in. And then he takes you back down the hallway. Yeah, it was. And he was a very smart man, if you ever took the time just to visit with him.
You know what's so funny? He was not a very fun neighbor. He kind of kept to himself, and his wife definitely kept herself. And what's so funny is that my friend Pete Gibson, who lived across the street, and he was so much fun, like just the best guy ever. And Pete Gibson talked about how Rusty Reel, who's another Crane memory, how Rusty Reel would come over to work on Dr. Womack's house, and Dr. Womack would fire him every Friday. And then Pete would have to go back and say, no, hire him for one more week. And just one week at a time.
Yeah, he was just out there. He kept to himself, kind of, because I think he just really didn't find any people that were on the same level where he was.
Exactly.
He was a different, like I said, he would visit with me the most if I had to go down there to his doctor office. And then I would start, I think he visited with me because I just don't shut up. I'm like, blah, 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 blah. And I think he liked that. He's a Rusty Reel.
Right.
Oh my gosh, Henry Maples.
Loved him.
There was just a lot of people. Fern Myers.
Love Fern. Oh my gosh. Talk about Fern. What do you think about her?
Dolores and Benton Shively.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
That was my neighbors, and they were just super.
They sure were. And of course, their children were Chuck and David Shively.
Chuck and David, and they got two more,
right?
Terry and then David, he passed away here a few years ago.
Right, sure did. A great guy, and, definitely a great guy.
David was, he was awesome, you know. And David's one of those that he just decided he was going to move away, you know, go somewhere else and do something.
Right.
And I think he started out doing catering and stuff like that, and I mean at hotels and all. And he had worked himself up until good marketing stuff.
Right.
And we used to, every summer, me and Randy Bowling, we'd load up and we'd go to either Tulsa or St. Louis, or we'd go somewhere to drag races, the professional drag races.
Okay.
Chuck, we finally asked Chuck one time if he wanted to go. Oh, my gosh. You know, his parents, they go, we were their neighbors, and they said, okay. Man, Chuck thought he was in heaven, man. He is with the two older guys.
Right.
And we were in a van, a customized van that we were always doing those at the car lot. And we got lost and got over in East St. Louis on Saturday night after the races.
Oh, no.
I mean, and the transmission was on the thing, on the van, and it was sticking in like third gear. So, I mean, it was just, we couldn't stop because the motor, I mean, yeah, we just had to keep going. Not to mention the air. Man, we were getting in trouble for that, but we're the only three guys that looked like we did in the whole area. And we were in this van with all these bright colors on the side of it. And every street corner was just, I was just like the movies, man. It was just
it feels like
we thought so we just ran all the stoplights, yeah. And it's and Chuck, he had never been away from Crane, I don't think, and he was just freaking out. I go, I think we're gonna have to run this one. Chuck would be like, yeah, yeah, run it, go, go, go. And yeah, I mean, it was older people in Crane. I just try to think of course, all the Vaughts. I mean, all those guys.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, all the brothers that were around the same age as in Goob, right. Perry, and James, and Dean was a little bit younger.
Goob.
There were seven or eight of them that were all around the same age.
Yes.
And they were. If you ever see these movies, Small Town, and you don't mess with one of them or do anything wrong to one because you'll have all eight or nine or 10 of them all show up at your front yard. And I know of a lot of cases where things like that happen, you know, and, right. And they just laugh about it. And, Kenny,
of course.
Yeah. And, I'm trying to think who all, there was a lot of course, Jack Swearingen, you know, yes, works for the city. Cool. How about American Family Insurance?
Oh, Jack Fugit. Yes.
Jack Fugit is
an amazing American, definitely.
Amazing. He'd come up and see my dad in the hospital.
Right.
And when he'd leave, he'd be out in the lobby or out in the hallway crying.
And right.
He'd be like, well, I came up here to try to cheer your dad up and I'm bawling like a baby, and he's in there just laughing. And, it was, good gosh. Chuck Warren at the lumberyard, I spent a lot of time down there. I mean, that's where we built the insides of our bus and everything. And it's a town, I mean, you pretty much just knew everybody.
Absolutely. You know, I loved Minrose Quinn and her kids. They were another group that was just so fantastic. I love that house. Such a fun group of people.
Oh yeah. Minrose. Yeah. And all the kids, I mean, they were all just, they were all great. It was just a town where back in my days, I think Blaine Hembree was the main cop in town. I figured out if you wanted to be a police officer in Crane, all you had to do was put a light on top of your car, and maybe a magnet one that would stick there, and they'd give you a police shirt and a badge, and listen to this. We went, me and my dad and somebody and Blaine Hembree, might have been Raymond Lyer. We all went to the Shrine Mosque to wrestling one time.
He was a big fan of wrestling, definitely. Blaine Hembree was,
and this was the big time back then. It's what the big time would be now. And,
right.
And we had like seats two or three rows from the ring right down there. And all I remember is back in my days, this is a long time ago, there was one guy called the Spoiler, and he wore a mask and he would take his hand and he'd put it on people's head and squeeze till they started bleeding. And he was the bad guy. And I remember that happened. And Blaine Hembree jumped up and took his folding chair and folded it and went after him, man.
Right.
He got, because the guy was leaving the ring, and he took off after him. And
Blaine stopped him. That's something I've heard about all the time. And one other thing, this is Kelly Vaught's birthday. And so another way to bring all this together, because
I saw that. Yeah. Happy birthday, Kelly.
Yes.
He's
in heaven. We know where he is. Definitely.
Yep. It is his birthday. There was Crane was a community that just kept up with people right around there. I mean, right. Your parents, you know, I mean, I knew your parents really good. Like you said, your mom was a teacher.
Right.
It was a community that everybody kind of worked together in the community when they'd have little street things downtown. I mean, the whole town would go together to do that. And,
yes,
gosh, Joy Johnson.
Right.
He was an awesome guy, and Teresa White, and
yes.
I just start, what I do, I start thinking of different businesses, right, who ran them. And there was, who's the little lady? Gosh, this was before your time, where my dad had Chevrolet, and then he had kind of behind it was the used car lot on the Parsons Cafe.
Oh, yes.
There used to be a Parsons Cafe, and there's a little lady, I forgot her name. Everybody in town had their own coffee cup in there with their name on it. And it was one of the best places to eat, that and Jane and Eddie, J&E.
Oh,
Jane,
yeah,
and Eddie's right up the edge of town. And it was just, maybe every town's like that, maybe, but it was definitely a fun town.
Definitely, definitely.
In those days, I was the only one trying to do music back in those days.
There wasn't a high class or low class. Everybody was in the same class of people.
Yeah, I can't really think of any people from there that everybody's like, oh, stay away from them. Oh, yeah, bad people.
Sure.
But it just wasn't there. Randy Stowe and his dad,
right,
and mom. I've known them forever. Of course, I worked with Randy at Silver Dollar City for a long time. And the Kimeses.
Yes.
And the Kimeses, Jeff's folks were just too down to earth, normal, hardworking, right, people, you know. Mr. Kimes, I don't think I ever seen him when he wasn't out in the yard or out doing something, you know, working on something, plowing this or cutting or. And who else lived right on the street, right? Who lived right next to the Kimeses? Lefties, had Lefties Plumbing.
Oh yes, Lefty Evans. Yes,
Evans. Yeah. So it was pretty cool. And this is a little town, and when there was ball games, man, the gym was full. Yeah, that was something to do. And it brings back great memories. I mean,
yes,
we do this show at 4 o'clock of a day, and we talk a lot about Crane because Dale's from there and I'm from there. And we've kind of made the full circle now working together.
More on Crane in a second. DaleWileyShow.com, also on YouTube. Let me tell you about Southern Gothic. I had written Sabotage in the summer of 2012. My friend Liz Giordano returned from Chile and was helping me get it published. We found out that the whole knock against self-publishing had totally gone by the wayside, and there was so much more to be done with self-publishing. We went back and found an old manuscript that I'd written called The Intern from 1995, and we decided that would be a good one to start on, and so we actually published that first while we finished up Sabotage. Through that process, I got the interest of Italia Gandolfo, my wonderful agent, and she asked me the very reasonable question, what are you writing next? I had no answer for that. I had a week's vacation in Georgia planned, and so I thought, I'll go down to Georgia, I'll get something to write on, I'll decide what it's all going to be. Nothing happened. I sat there for a whole week, couldn't think of a thing to write about. It wasn't until I was headed back from Georgia all the way in Memphis, Tennessee. I was down at the pool watching my kids swim. I saw a lamp that looked like it was out of the Old South, and suddenly I came up with almost the entire concept of what Southern Gothic would be about all while watching my kids swim in Memphis, Tennessee. My son Matthew came up with the name Michael Black. My daughter, Sarah, was a huge influence. Mary is always around and always so, so delightful. When we got the idea for the thing, the whole plot poured on me. The first draft of it was written in less than 90 days. Here's a taste of the forthcoming audiobook, Southern Gothic, read by Peter Danbury.
The letter came to the bookstore Wednesday morning, postmarked Savannah. The stationery was expensive and regal, and although it was not embossed with any initials, it felt important. It was addressed to Ms. Meredith Harper, Southern Gothic Bookstore, in a powerful script, the angular letters formed with a fountain pen. The thick strokes of blue ink looked familiar to the recipient. She knew the handwriting, but couldn't place it. The envelope's inner lining was the same dark blue as the ink. She lifted the note card out gingerly, not wanting to smear any message. "Dear M., I will call you today. An opportunity awaits. Yours forever. M." She thought about showing it to her assistant, Nate, but something stopped her. She liked the mystery. She probably should be a little more alarmed by such a personal letter, but she couldn't help being thrilled at the thought of a secret admirer and one who wrote her a letter. It felt like an entry into another world, one not marred by insistent emails and the soul-killing ping of never-ending text messages. On a day when she had much to do, it lifted her spirits and gave her a little secret to carry in her pocket.
For more with Mike's memories of Crane, Missouri, DaleWileyShow.com, also on YouTube.
And it, but I wanted to say hi, Janelle, in case she's watching.
There we go. Awesome.
Yeah, she Janelle, let me say, let's see, what could I do if she's watching? She was the kindest, most sincere lady I ever knew.
I love that.
Sounds like I'm faking it, but she was. She was just kind, you know, I don't know how she actually taught school and put up with kids, because
she actually talked about what position it was, if she was before or after the Fanny Spackett teacher. Which one was that?
The which one?
The one that smacked you so hard in the butt.
You know, I don't know.
I just think that's interesting, because that's an awful story. That is a very interesting story that I'm really sorry that any Crane student had to put up with that. That was
my dad went to the school board.
Right.
And in fact, I think I had to go and pull the back of my pants down and show them the whelps across my, even if I was a kid at school and I got paddled for something, man.
Yeah.
This guy had a board with a handle on it, and it was big. Right. And man, he hit me. The whole classroom was just like, and I was always in school. I was, man, not a ringleader, but I was one. All the young kids follow me, and all, yeah. You know, I was just always out. I mean, I've been the same person my whole life, where I talk all the time and subjects just, it's just been me. I was the same way in school. And,
yes.
So I think this guy was just trying to prove a point or something. But
it's horrible point, though. That's horrible.
Yeah, my friends were going, man, I'm glad when he asked me if I'd had a spanking in school before. I'm glad I said no. I said, well, you know, I was just, no. They said yes. I just had him go, no, I ain't never had one. Well, get up here.
Well,
sounds like his name might have been Curtis, Mr. Curtis. Right. He's a big guy, and he sat in his chair all day. And he was from, I think he's from down around Cape Fear somewhere. And he got canned. He should have got canned. I mean, whether it was me or whoever.
Because what I know is when I was in school, the big spanker was Mr. Reedus from Marionville. Billy Reedus, and he was an amazing teacher, but he came in. There was a teacher that started the seventh grade year. I was in sixth grade, and Mr. Reedus came in, and the teacher that started that seventh grade year, she got run off. Like, literally, they ran her off. And so Mr. Reedus he was just out of school, and he came over and he said, I can tell you one thing, you're not going to run me off. And so he was a wonderful teacher, but he laid down the law and he made sure that everybody knew that he was in control, definitely.
Well, we talk about teachers. Bob Conrad was kind of that way. He made sure you knew that he was the boss and he was in charge, but he had a real fun side to him too. Right. I mean,
but I gotta say, Freitas was in a different class all to himself. I love that guy, but he was in control in that junior high classes.
We had I had some math teacher. I only remember where the room was in the school. Right. I forget who she was, but you're in a small school. Right. And if you don't want to go to class, you can find a way to just do something and, oh, I missed that class. Exactly. I mean it. And I tried to miss her class every chance I got. And then I've had dreams about that in the past where I was not going to her class and she's going, well, I'm going to have to give you an F on your report card because you're never here. But I told you we had an English teacher, and her name was Goodall. Right. She was young, and she wore a lot of makeup. Couldn't believe she would have probably been one of those people that you hear all the stories on TV about the teacher and the student having an affair or something. But she was just so cool. And she's the one I went to English for, or whatever. Then I went in there one day and I was just the ringleader. I said, I've never had anybody put makeup on me where I look like Kiss. She goes, really? You've never had makeup on? No. I go, do you got any here? Well, yeah, here. Come here. Sit down here. Sit down in the chair. She goes, now y'all watch this. And by the time the class is over, I think she did Ace Frehley. I'm not sure which one. But I was all painted up and it looked pretty good, but I had to go to the next class.
Right.
And next day she's like, you just did that so we didn't have to study yesterday, didn't you?
Right.
I go, no, that's not why, no. But right. That's what I told her. But, you know, I am the president of the class, and I have been for 4 years. And I've got possession of, or I can get it with the snap of the fingers, of the key to the concession stand. And
right.
It's full of candy bars and soda pop.
Right.
If you want us all to go down there and have class inside the concession stand, because it's all shut up, you know, nobody will know we're there.
Right.
She goes, are you serious? I go, yeah. She goes, let's go. Everybody be quiet. Let's go down the hallway. Okay, we go down. I swear I should have had an office there because I was.
That's one thing we both had. We both had that time of ruling the school, and that was so much fun. Definitely a fun time, 15 years apart.
Wow. That's crazy. And the town didn't really change.
Not much.
Because I lived right up the hill. And, you know, I lived during the time when every summer the city council would vote on getting a swimming pool or not. And we never, I remember we'd miss it by three votes.
Right.
And we'd miss it by 5 votes. And it's like, oh, my gosh. And then the year came, it actually passed. And
right.
Man, that was like celebration. And built the pool right down the street from where I lived. And, of course, we just bought a pass for the year. And it opened at maybe noon or 1 o'clock. Every day of my life in the summer,
right?
Boom, me and my friends were at the pool, and we stayed there till close tonight. And it had a jukebox in it with some speakers that would crank up. And I remember this one guy ran the pool. He goes, "You guys want to play some tunes?" We go, "Yeah." Just go in there in the cash register, open the door, just get out some money, put in the jukebox, and we would just play music loud and dance and party and then. He'd be like, you guys hungry? Oh, yeah. Hey, let's get some candy bars. What kind of you guys like? I'm like, this guy must have probably got fired because he's,
right.
I mean, he let us go get in the cash register and get money out, you know? So it was.
Did you ever have Gladys Lane as a teacher?
Who
was that before your time?
Mrs. Lane?
Yes.
I think she was a little bit before me.
I think so.
She was more like the Gary Chastain and those guys.
Right.
I think
sure.
because I know the name.
Right.
And
she lived right down the hill from me on the other side, so that's why I'm asking. She lived the street I live on is called Lucas Lane because poor Lucas and Willis Lane were the two people that donated land. That's such a cool story.
Yeah, that was, well, I was talking about that English teacher I had. She lived She lived right down the street from your house.
Right.
They had a couple little trailer houses set back in there a long time ago. She rented that, a little trailer house, kind of on the corner before you come up to the main drag there to go down. Yeah, that's where she lived. And we had her, and you could tell she was just, bless her heart, she was a party animal pretty much, I think. And she was like, I think in her head, it was like, well, I'm stuck here in this little town in Crane. What? You know, and her and a music teacher I had, too. She was awesome. But I couldn't imagine some of these people that went to college and all this and wanted to get a job teaching. And they were in a little town like Crane or Hurley. But there's a lot of towns. I mean.
Where you started.
Huh?
That's where you started, definitely.
Yeah, I was so glad, though. I mean, I thought it was, I moved there in sixth grade, and right. That's why I said, you know, that's why I said whenever I went to school, my science, one time we had to go get specimens for science, and I had this science teacher, he was real cool, a little skinny guy, and he said, let's all get in cars, and we went up to that up above where the swimming pool is, used to be a real old folks home up there or something. I don't know what it was.
Residential care center.
Right. Yeah. We thought it's the real old one I'm talking about. Red brick, four story. We thought it was haunted and stuff like that, but we went there to find bugs and stuff for science class. And, those are the easiest days of our lives, man, back in those days.
Definitely the most fun. And so this is Knee Deep in Rubber, and tomorrow we will have new stuff to show you. Definitely.
Hey, you know, and I didn't mean to interrupt, but my friend Tracy, my good friend, Steamboat Springs, Colorado, I talked to him yesterday. I sent him your link. I said, out there it'd be 3:00. I said, hit the link you sent me. I go, just hit that link.
Right.
And Dale say, oh, we got somebody else on here, you know. and he is going, man, this would be a blast.
Yeah.
You can come on there tomorrow as much as you want. Because, he's a great friend. And he begs me all the time to come out and live in Steamboat, live out there. He goes, bring your mom. It'll all be good.
Okay. That's tomorrow on Knee Deep in Rubber. We'll see you on Friday. All kinds of surprises coming. DaleWileyShow.com, also on YouTube. For more with Mike's memories of Crane, Missouri, DaleWileyShow.com, also on YouTube.
And it, but I wanted to say hi, Janelle, in case she's watching.
There we go. Awesome.
Yeah, she Janelle, let me say, let's see, what could I do if she's watching? She was the kindest, most sincere lady I ever knew.
That's fantastic. I love that.
Sounds like I'm faking it, but she was. She was just kind of, you know, I don't know how she actually taught school and put up with kids, because
she actually talked about what position it was, if she was before or after the Fannie Speck teacher. Which one was that?
The which one?
The one that specked you so hard in the butt.
I don't know.
I just think that's interesting, because that's an awful story. That is a very interesting story that I'm really sorry that any Crane student had to put up with that. That was
Well, my dad went to the school board.
Right.
And in fact, I think I had to go and pull the back of my pants down and show him the whelps across my, even if I was a kid at school and I got paddled for something, man, this guy had a board with a handle on it, and it was big, right. And man, he hit me. The whole classroom was just like, and I was always in school. I was, man, not a ringleader, but I was one. All the young kids follow me, and all, you know, I was just always out. I mean, I've been the same person my whole life, where I talk all the time and subjects just, blah, blah, blah. It's just been me. I was the same way in school. And, I think this guy was just trying to prove a point or something. But
it's horrible point though. That's horrible.
Yeah, my friends were going, man, I'm glad when he asked me if I'd had a spanking in school before. I'm glad I said no. I said, well, you know, I was just, no, they said yes. I just had him go, no, I ain't never had one. Well, get up here.
Well,
sounds like his name might have been Curtis, Mr. Curtis. Right. He's a big guy, and he's sitting in his chair all day, and he was from, I think he's from down around Cape Fear somewhere, and oh, yeah, he got canned. He should have got canned. I mean, whether it was me or whoever.
Because what I know is when I was in school, the big spanker was Mr. Reedus from Marionville, Billy Reedus, and he was an amazing teacher, but he came in, there was a teacher that started the seventh grade year. I was in sixth grade, and mysteries came in. And the teacher that started that seventh grade year, she got run off. Like literally, they ran her off. And so Mr. Reedus he was just out of school, and he came over and he said, "I can tell you one thing: you're not going to run me off." And so he was a wonderful teacher. But he laid down the law, and he made sure that everybody knew that he was in control, definitely.
Well, we talk about teachers. Bob Conrad was kind of that way. He made sure you knew that he was the boss and he was in charge. But he had a real fun side to him, right, too. I mean,
but I got to say, this was in a different class all to himself. I love that guy, but he was in control in that junior high classes.
We had I had some math teacher. I only remember where the room was in the school. Right. I forget who she was, but you're in a small school, right, and if you don't want to go to class, you can find a way to just do something. And oh, I missed that class. Exactly. I mean it. And I tried to miss her class every chance I got, and then I've had dreams about that in the past where I was not going to her class and she's going, well, I'm going to have to give you an F on your report card because you're never here. But I told you, we had an English teacher, and her name was Goodall. Right. She was young and she wore a lot of makeup. Couldn't believe she would have probably been one of those people that you hear all the stories on TV about the teacher and the student having an affair or something. But she was just so cool. And she's the one I went to English for, or whatever. I went in there one day and I was just the ringleader. I said, I've never had anybody put makeup on me where I look like Kiss. She goes, really? You've never had makeup on? No. I go, do you got any here? Well, yeah, here. Come here. Sit down here. Sit down in the chair. She goes, now y'all watch this. And by the time the class is over, I think she did Ace Frehley. I'm not sure which one. But I was all painted up, and it looked pretty good, but I had to go to the next class.
Right.
And next day, she's like, you just did that so we didn't have to study yesterday, didn't you?
Right.
I go, no, that's not why, no. But right, that's what I told her. But, you know, I am the president of the class, and I have been for 4 years. And I've got possession of, or I can get it with the snap of the fingers, of the key to the concession stand, and
right,
it's full of candy bars and soda pop.
Right.
If you want us all to go down there and have class inside the concession stand, because it's all shut up, you know, nobody will know we're there.
Right.
She goes, are you serious? I go, yeah. She goes, let's go. Everybody be quiet. Let's go down the hallway. Okay, we go down. I swear I should have had an office there because I was
That's one thing we both had. We both had that time of ruling the school, and that was so much fun, definitely. A fun time, 15 years apart.
Wow, that's crazy. And the town didn't really change.
Not much.
Because I lived right up the hill. I lived during the time when every summer the city council would vote on getting a swimming pool or not, and we never... I remember we'd miss it by three votes, and
right,
we'd miss it by five votes. And it's like, oh my gosh. And then the year came, it actually passed. And
right,
man, that was like celebration. And built the pool right down the street from where I lived. And of course, we just bought a pass for the year, and it opened at maybe noon or 1 o'clock every day of my life in the summer. Right. Boom. Me and my friends were at the pool. At the pool. And we stayed there till close tonight. And it had a jukebox in it with some speakers that would crank up. And I remember this one guy ran the pool. He goes, "You guys want to play some tunes?" We go, "Yeah." "Just go in there in the cash register, open the door, just get out some money, put in the jukebox." And we would just, man, we would just play music loud and dance right. and party. And then he'd be like, "You guys hungry?" "Oh, yeah." "Yeah, let's get some candy bars. What kind of guys like?" He just, I'm like, this guy must have probably got fired because he's, right. I mean, he let us go get in the cash register and get money out, you know, so it was.
Did you ever have Gladys Lane as a teacher? Who was that before your time?
Mrs. Lane?
Yes.
I think she was a little bit before me. I think she was more like the Gary Chastain and those guys. Right. I think sure. because I know the name.
Right.
And
she lived right down the hill from me on the other side, so that's why I'm asking. She lived the street I live on is called Lucas Lane because Port Lucas and Willis Lane were the two people that donated land. That's such a cool story.
Yeah, that was. Well, I was talking about that English teacher I had. She lived. Right. She lived right down the street from your house.
Right.
They had a couple little trailer houses set back in there a long time ago. She rented a little trailer house, kind of on the corner before you come up to the main drag there to go down. Yeah, that's where she lived, and we had her, and you could tell she was just, bless her heart. She was a party animal, pretty much, I think, and she was like. I think in her head, it was like, well, I'm stuck here in this little town in Crane. What? You know, and her and a music teacher I had, too. She was awesome. But I couldn't imagine some of these people that went to college and all this and wanted to get a job teaching. And they were in a little town like Crane or Hurley. But there's a lot of towns. I mean.
Where you started.
Huh?
That's where you started, definitely.
Yeah, I was so glad though. I mean, I thought it was, I moved there in sixth grade and, right. That's why I said, you know, that's why I said, whenever I went to, school, my science, one time we had to go get specimens for science. And I had this science teacher, he was real cool, a little skinny guy. And, right. And he said, "Let's all get in cars." And we went up to up above where the swimming pool is, used to be a real old folks home up there or something. I don't know what it was.
Residential care center.
Right. Yeah. We thought it's the real old one I'm talking about. Red brick, third floor story. We thought it was haunted and stuff like that. But we went there to find bugs and stuff for science class. And, it was, those are the easiest days of our lives, man, back in those days.
Definitely the most fun. And so this is Knee Deep in Rubber, and tomorrow we'll have new stuff to show you. Definitely.
Hey, you know, and I didn't mean to interrupt, but my friend Tracy, my good friend, Steamboat Springs, Colorado, I talked to him yesterday. I sent him your link. I said, out there it'd be 3:00. I said, hit the link you sent me. I go, just hit that link.
Right.
And Dale say, "Oh, we got somebody else on here, you know." and he is going, "Man, this would be a blast."
Yeah.
You can come on there tomorrow as much as you want. Because, he was, he's a great friend. And he begs me all the time to come out and live in Steamboat, live out there. He goes, "Bring your mom. It'll all be good."
Okay. Tomorrow on Knee Deep in Rubber, we'll see you on Friday. All kinds of surprises coming. DaleWileyShow.com, also on YouTube.